They're obligated to see it.
It is May 11th at 6:07 p.m., and I call this police complaints board meeting to order. We're going to do a board member roll call. I'm Paul Ashton. I'm the chair of the police complaints board. Present.
Bobby Strang, member of the board. Present.
Kurt Vondren, member of the board. Present.
Morgan Kane, member of the board. Present.
Great. For the record, Jamira Burley is absent from this meeting. Doesn't appear that there is anyone from the public here for the comment period. So in our packets, we have the meeting notes from the last meeting. If we could take a moment to review them to see if there are any corrections needed before we take a vote to approve the minutes.
I would move adoption of the minutes as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The meeting notes are approved. The meeting minutes are approved. So some old business apparently is next to me.
All right. Very good. Mr. Chair, at this time, since we have a new member who's going to be sworn in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes. May 25th, I believe.
Maybe we'll take a minute and go around and introduce the staff. You just met Mona Andrews. She's the chief investigator.
Right.
Alicia, why don't you go next?
Alicia Yass. I am special assistant legal counsel.
Anthony Lawrence. I'm the senior investigator. Everyone calls me Doug.
Doug? Doug. Yes. Okay. Hansel. I have an Uncle Doug.
Oh.
Hansel Aguilar, investigator.
Okay. Rochelle Howard, deputy director.
Victoria Keyes, investigator.
Mm-hmm. Ethan Train, investigator.
Okay.
Bob Rowe, investigations manager.
Okay,
thanks. You are.
All right. On our board report, first of all, for our agenda, we have a full business presidential inauguration monitor report. That is on our old business agenda because it is still an active topic in the district. And the latest update since the board has issued its report in January regarding the January inauguration, the latest update is that the council is considering doing an independent investigation or slash report of the actions that happened on inauguration day. The council has approached us and asked for a estimate of the cost that it would take to do such an estimate. And I anticipate that the reason they're asking us that is because they're putting together the fiscal year 2018 budget right now. A consultant's report or outside investigation is not in the mayor's budget proposal, but the council is asking us about the cost estimates, and I believe they are anticipating putting it in the fiscal year 18 budget. It's still unknown what role Office of Police Complaints will play in that consultant report, if there is money allocated for it to be conducted. We've had some communication with different council members about it and other district agency heads about it, and it's in such a state of flux right now that I don't want to even bother you with all the details. Just be aware that it's my anticipation that there's going to be money allocated, and we are going to have some role in it as an office. I don't think the board's going to have a direct role, but Office of Police Complaints will. What their role will be yet, I don't know. That remains to be determined how it's all going to pan out. So I just want to, and I will continue keeping everyone updated on the status of that. As soon as something else is known, I will let you know. It's come up at every meeting I've had with the council. I met with council members of committee, judiciary committee, a couple of weeks ago when I had our office agency budget hearing, and of course it came up there too. And at that meeting, they publicly asked me too more information about doing an independent consultant review of the inauguration activity. So it's nothing secret. It's something on the radar screens of the judiciary committee, at least, and the council, other council members. So we'll just keep an eye on that, and we'll certainly keep you appraised of where it goes from there. Moving on to the agency report, then, I would like the minutes to reflect that Bobby Strang was reappointed to a by unanimous vote. She is reappointed until January 20th, 2020.
Yay.
So mark that down in your calendar. and you'll receive a new oath on May 25th, although your oath you originally took is still in effect. So that doesn't affect anything that happens tonight for any votes that you did. And minutes should also reflect Morgan Kane, commander of the 1st District, to replace Patrick Burke. She has been approved to fill the end of Patrick Burke's term until January 20th, 2018, for now.
They didn't tell you this is a lifetime.
I heard that.
Yeah. And you'll be taking the oath on May 25th also with Bobby. So we'll be looking forward to that date. And Chief Newsham was appointed as a regular appointment. The note minutes should reflect that, and that occurred on May 2nd of 2017. With respect to policy recommendations and reports, I will ask our this evening's recorder / legal counsel / special assistant, you're wearing a lot of hats today,
yes,
to report on the policy recommendations.
Yes. So in front of you all, in your folders, and hopefully you were able to review before tonight, our two policy recommendations that we have put together for your approval. The first is PCB policy report number 17-3 on blocking passage, and this has to do with some recommendations for MPD on how to better affect usage of the blocking passage and move along orders and arrests. And then there's also a recommendation in there for the DC Council to rewrite the statute to better follow the model penal code statute to alleviate some of the harassment issues that we've been seeing with blocking passage arrests and orders given by MPD officers to members of the community. So that's the first one. I don't know if there are any questions about the blocking passage policy report. I'm happy to answer them.
So the only question I do have about it is I noticed, I was wondering if there was information regarding, you mentioned the 14 complaints, right?
Mm-hmm.
That were filed. In terms of district, like if we have the breakdown of district, if there's a pattern in terms of the districts that they're in or not. Not that I necessarily think it needs to go in the report, but it could be like an informal conversation.
Sure, I don't have that information offhand, but we certainly do have that information.
Okay.
I would just have to look back at it. So I can get that to you tomorrow.
Sure.
So that you know where things were occurring.
I was just curious if it was, you know, one or two particular
It was definitely spread out. I think there was,
okay,
I definitely remember noticing there was more in northeast and southeast,
okay,
than in northwest and southwest, but
that's
what's only standing out in my head. I don't remember the district's breakdown.
I don't remember a specific district that could be singled out.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the most important commonality that we identified was most of the recipients of the treatment were minorities and or homeless people.
Right.
And that's what we identified. And just so everyone knows, too, just to reiterate, too, what we do with all of these reports and what we did with both of these is we circulate those with the department. So MPD was given the draft of the report, and we gave the other one to Housing Authority, and then they responded to us with their comments that they had. So with respect to the one we're talking about right now with the blocking passage, the department responded to say that the chief was going to direct the academy to start at least in the next training session, it's too late for this year's PDT, to start doing scenario-based training on how to properly enforce the blocking passage. So that That means that the department has been responsive to the policy, and certainly in their response, it did not include anything objecting to any parts of the report. Their response really was, we're going to start talking about it and start doing scenario training at the academy about the law and how to properly use it.
So the department's official response has already come back?
It was an informal conversation.
I think it was probably I think their response, the official response, is coming back, and I think there are some concerns with the report that are going to be addressed. As far as with some of the recommendations, I know we would like to see more information on the actual complaints. I know we sustained 2 in reading this report that we sustained 2, but the other 12, if we could kind of get that information and see kind of, you know, if there are common themes in there, that would be helpful. And when we make the recommendation to rewrite the law, this, when it was rewritten, there was a lot of effort and a lot of partners that went into rewriting it, and it just wasn't a MPD decision or an MPD hastily rewriting it. So there was a lot of research that went into this. I think they probably dissected, you know, every word that went into it. So I think there's a little bit more of a concern with the report and what the, I think, the official response from MPD
will
be.
And I did speak to Kelly about that, and we did put in some footnotes footnotes to address some of that concern. In terms of the drafting of the statute, OPC at the time, I was not here at the time, but OPC at the time was involved in that drafting as well. We are aware that it was a broad base of stakeholders, but the feeling was that just because a lot of people were involved doesn't mean that what came out of it was perfect, especially now that we've seen 4 years
of
action.
Yeah, we would never say that anything is perfect. there's always room for improvement. A lot of training, you know, up front, you know, with getting the proper procedures, you know, how we go about enforcing it, went into it up front, and can we add more scenario-based training to it? Can we send out reminders? Absolutely.
So that footnote 14 is what you're referring to.
Yeah, there's 13 and 14 both address the conversations that we had with policy folks at MPD.
And we had given the department a timeline for today's meeting to send a formal response, and as of today, what we talked about already is the response we got. We didn't get a response in writing.
I'm sure it's coming. Pretty sure.
All right. what else did you want to say about this section?
That was all I had on the blocking passage, unless there are any other questions.
Mike, were you hoping for us to vote this evening?
Well, that's my question. What is kind of the procedure for this? What do we do
normally,
at this point?
Well, normally when this is put on it's on the agenda for a vote.
Okay.
And like I said, I don't know if you know exactly what anything further about the department's response, but we gave them a timeline for today's meeting that they were aware of, and we needed any formal response, and that's why we touched base informally to see if there was anything that we needed to modify in the report based on what they were going to respond to, and we did that. We took that action based on, you know, we put in there about the effort that went in and the fact that the chief is going to be ordering the academy to do additional scenario-based training, and we incorporated that into the report. And nothing else we heard, unless you know different, nothing else we heard so far would indicate that there's something in the report that we would change.
Okay.
Unless you know differently, that what we know so far is we already took the action to change it. So, I'm being handed a note. So, normally I would ask for a vote on it unless you know information that you think would change the report itself. And again, it's a recommendation that would be made, and it's not based on questions that the department would have had or anything, but the department and the council would be presented with it, and and they can choose to act on it or choose not to act on it. But it's based on just a majority vote of the board about whether these are things we should look at. And the recommendation really is we should consider looking at the statute again based on our 4 years of experience with the legislation. So that's why it's on for a vote. I would suggest that unless there's contrary information that there's something significantly wrong with the report or a big objection that we should not be making the recommendations, then I would recommend it at least be put up for a vote. And you can even take a vote first to see if you want to take a vote. You don't have to put it up for a vote. If there's discussion, you can have discussion, and someone has to make a motion, and you can have discussion on the motion about whether there should be a vote or not. And you can handle it that way, too, so that everybody gets to be heard on it. The disadvantage to not voting on it tonight is we don't have another meeting scheduled for several months. But there is an alternate procedure that we have utilized in the past where we can seek individual approval from people, and once we get it outside of a meeting, mm-hmm. and as long as that's announced publicly at some point later on, then we can handle it that way. But since we have a quorum tonight,
didn't board members need time to review it, or have you reviewed it already?
I have read it before.
Okay.
I don't have any problems with it. If I really knew that the department would have very quickly some further comments, I would like to hear those. I'm also, as you know, I'm not a big fan of Friday news releases because I don't think they get attention. So I'm not feeling it's a terrible thing if we wait till the middle of next week.
Okay.
For the board's information, we did send it to MPD 2.5 weeks ago.
Commander, do
when we say 2.5 weeks ago, do we think that was enough time?
Well, we sent it to them. Okay. We generally send it to them. We like to send it, we give MPD a week mm-hmm. for comments. So the idea was, so when we sent it to you all, we had already sent it to them before that, waited a week for comments. That was when I spoke to the policy shop. They told me that those were their comments
mm-hmm.
on it. And then we incorporated those and sent it out to you. So...
And I guess communicating this, we have this throughout the year. This is our normal practice with them, and Alicia's
mm-hmm.
worked with them over the years about how we can receive their comments, get their feedback, and when we do have feedback that we can incorporate in it, we did like we expressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do give them a deadline for formal response. So sometimes they get back to us with that formal response. Sometimes they choose not to get back to us with the formal comments.
I just know what the workload is, so
right.
that's why my
yeah.
question was that we think that was adequate time, because I know what
right.
the workload is in that office.
And there's
so times
that they've asked us for extensions,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we have, in my opinion, a really good work. Alicia's built a really
oh,
good
got,
relationship
absolutely.
With them to make
yeah.
sure that they have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
And usually if today was not a good time frame for them, they would have told us that we would have allowed not brought it forward to the board. So
okay.
it is, I know you know, but it is common practice for us to work with them. We don't push them and say this is the hard deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, because there have been some that they wanted us to incorporate language and ask for extensions so they can collaborate that language. And we do work with them on that, and it's always been a back and forth. So I think this time they just didn't have formal comments for us. We got the informal comments and incorporated them.
I mean, I know that Kelly's drafting a formal response, but I didn't know that you
yeah, when we,
had received it.
Yeah.
Their formal comments are not back to us. They are to the press after publication, and we understand that.
Okay.
That's why I'm wondering, because I did speak to Kelly,
and
that was before we circulated this all to you, and she did not indicate to me that there would be anything else forthcoming.
Okay.
For us,
right.
Right.
So I don't
That's
want
helpful.
Anyone to feel
yeah.
pressured either.
Right.
You're indicating you feel like there's some pressure. Again, the options are vote on it tonight or not vote on it and wait till to hear it from the police department. In that, for option B, if you want to wait, we can institute our email policy for approving a policy via an email polling at a later time, later next week or whatever. But I want everyone, I want all the board members to feel, even though you're not voting members, to get sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
I want all the board members to be confident in their decision.
That was good.
Yeah. I want everybody to feel confident in their decision, know about, you know, either you want to go with it or,
right.
or not. And it's not an emergency either,
mm-hmm.
so don't feel that it is an emergency for today. So.
Well, if there's not a pressing timeline, I don't see the harm in delaying it to give a chance to get the formal response back.
I just don't know that formal response is going to come to us, right? It's probably going to go out.
No, it's going to come to us. So, but
okay.
I think if we do set it over, I would suggest that we have a date certain and that we relay that. I'll relay that to the department. And then if we don't get it by a date certain, then we're going to move forward again. I don't know how long it's
right.
going to take.
Yeah. And yeah. to your point, you may very well have all of the comments informally.
Right.
So are there...
So back to your original
yeah.
question.
So are there concerns with voting on it this evening? I know.
What about waiting until next Wednesday? And we can tomorrow let the department know that that's our hard deadline.
The 17th?
Yeah.
We can do that.
And why don't we use our policy that any board member non-response is considered to be
all right.
That usually speeds it up a little.
Does that make everyone feel comfortable?
Yes.
Moving forward?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Do it that way.
All right. Very good. So that's the MPD policy. The next item then is the Housing Authority policy. Alicia?
So, as you all know, in the NEAR Act that got passed June 30th, 2016, the Police Complaints Board was given the authority to also make recommendations to the District of Columbia Housing Authority Police Department. While OPC has had authority over DCHA PD for complaints and investigations, the authority to make the recommendations was not there until the NEAR Act. So in a complaint that came up recently regarding a DCHA Housing Authority Police Department officer, we realized that there were several recommendations that had been made to MPD over the years that would also apply to DCHA PD. So we created this policy report that lumps together several policy recommendations. So the report itself is 4 pages, however the appendix are about 100 pages to encompass all of those other actions. But the recommendations are for DCHA to update their general order to reflect identification procedures as used by MPD, which are that when an officer is asked for their name or asked for their identification, asked for their name, asked for their badge number, that the officer respond verbally, politely with their name and badge number. The DCHA PD policy had not been explicit that it needed to be verbal, so there was an issue with that. So that is the recommendation, and then as an addendum to that, that the DCHA PD also adopt the business card procedure that MPD has to make it easier for officers to identify themselves. In response to a draft that was circulated to DCHA PD, they have actually already updated their general order to require officers to verbally give their name and badge number. So there's that has already been in effect by them. We also recommend that DCHA PD institute the body-worn camera program in the same way that MPD has, working in as a cost-saving measure to work with MPD in the program that they already have and try to combine resources. And then the final recommendation is that DCHA PD update all of their policies and procedures, as they have several that are out of date. We recently did that policy recommendation to MPD in the fall to update all of their policy and procedures. So that is a quick overview. The appendix include the past PCB policy report or policy recommendations to MPD that cover those topics, and it also includes some of the general orders from MPD where they have put into effect those recommendations.
And thank you, Alicia. And as an addendum to that then, so prior to the NEAR Act, we did not have direct authority to make policy recommendations to Housing Authority. So that's how this came to be, was we got a first complaint, because we don't get very many from Housing Authority, because there's only the most, I think, 60 sworn and special officers with the department. So it came up as a result of a complaint, and an individual was stopped. He knew the rules for MPD, and he was asking the officer's name and badge number, and the officer refused to give it to him. Well, it turns out he didn't have to, and that's what started the whole domino effect of we then looked at all of their policy procedure manual. Alicia pulled it out, and we determined that a lot of them were outdated, and some of the other ones especially need to be updated. We met with the chief and the command staff. They came over here when was it, about 2 or 3 weeks ago? Maybe a month ago. We had a very good discussion with them. It was the first time most of them had ever been in our office. So it was a very good meet and greet. They were aware of this. The chief of the Housing Authority was very receptive. He immediately changed he put out a special order immediately to require their officers to give their names and badge numbers. And there was no waiting for that. And he was well aware of the other issues. He indicated he's already working on policy updates. And he more or less welcomed the idea that we would be supporting body cameras and presenting that support to the council, because he is also in support of that, but they have budgetary issues that are holding them back. And this report will hopefully help them with that respect, to maybe allow some, especially right now since we're going into the fiscal year 18 budget planning. Best case scenario is some money can be allocated for them to start at least a pilot program or hook up with MPD's program as a secondary vendor for the fiscal 18 year, assuming that we can approve this policy. So that's why you probably in the past have not seen anything. We didn't have the authority before, but once we did, we tried to give it a go all the way with it. So.
Unless there's an objection from the other board members who may need more time to review this, I would like to move for a vote on this one.
I'll second that.
All those in favor for approval?
Aye.
Aye.
It has been adopted.
Okay. I'm continuing on the board report then. Thank you, Alicia. Do you have anything else on policy procedure?
No, I don't.
We should briefly mention, too, that we did monitor a protest since the last meeting. That was a March for Science. That's the only one we determined that might require some monitoring, and in fact, it did not require monitoring, ultimately.
Pretty dull, those scientists, aren't they?
Yes. So no report was warranted.
Yeah, Thomas Tolby was there.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe Bill Nye had something to do with it. I don't know. So continuing the board report, I just want to highlight a couple things in our outreach portion of the report. Couple significant things. On March 28th, our Deputy Director Rochelle Howard was a co-panelist on a national webinar through NACO. And the reason that's important is we were asked to give that seminar by NACO, and the reason we were asked is because we have a program that other cities are looking to for advice and help on with our mediation program. So they've really expanded it over the last, year and a half, 2 years or so. Rochelle has been at the forefront of working on improving our mediation program, so she was asked in particular to do this nationwide webinar, which had a pretty big audience of people, so it's pretty good.
What does NACO say?
NACO is the National Association for Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement. Mm-hmm.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. Yeah. In our world, it's our IACP.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. That makes sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then on that same day, I think it's significant to note that Rochelle and our legal counsel, Alicia, and Chris Weber, our program manager, went to an FOP, a police union meeting.
And we still live.
Right.
We still live.
Yeah, and I'm saying that because that's something also that you would not have, you don't see. I'm saying that that's an exception as far as oversight agencies. I think it's really important that we work with the police union. Even though they disagree with a lot of things we do, we have to have a working relationship with them. They invited us, or we invited ourselves, or anyway, we ended up at the meeting.
They invited us.
We have a good...
To talk about mediation.
Yeah. Yeah, and to get the word out to the FOP about how mediation works, and they are in very much support of it. But we had instances where union representatives did not understand how it worked and weren't helping at all as far as getting the job done. So when they met with them, I think we got a lot of that cleared up, and we answered all of their questions.
It's been moving well since, for the last month or so. Mm-hmm. On a better foot, so hopefully that continues.
Two other things I'll mention then for outreach is I was able to meet with the general body of the NAACP on April 13th, and I had good feedback from that meeting. At the meeting, I asked them publicly if they would become one of our community partners, and we're waiting for their answer. We've reached out to them several times, and I'm hoping that they will agree to be a community partner with us. So that's why I went there, and hopefully that'll work out. And the last thing on outreach that I want to mention is, since Hansel is here tonight, you can wake up now. On April 14th, Hansel and Lindsay Murphy, another investigator who's not here tonight, met with Latin American Youth Center. And the reason I bring that up is it's a very good example of an investigator taking initiative. And we have other examples for people in the room here, but I'm just picking on you, Hansel, because you were in a motorcycle accident, and I feel sorry for you this week.
Wasn't on the job, was it? We don't want
no, it wasn't
workers' comp.
It's not a workers' comp plan.
Yeah, I don't want any of your people in my
No, you won't be hearing from him on this, I don't think. Unless he falls on the way outside, I was on his way out of the meeting tonight. But
you're not going to do.
So it's a good example of an investigator taking initiative, and we have a lot of that happening in our office lately, and I want to just point out that you've done good work on that, and are they going to be our community partners? Do we know yet?
We're hoping. We're attending their community partners meetings monthly, so hopefully they're sooner than later, they'll say.
Yeah, and it's basically like a mentorship program that you're going to help them out on, and that's what it takes to get the word out that we exist. So thanks for doing that.
You got to seal the deal.
It's all you.
Yeah. Right. Next thing I want to mention, and I won't go through every item on the board report because you have it in front of it from you, but I want to skip now to item section 7, training and conferences. On April 13th, we hosted the New York City Civilian Complaint Review Board, the largest complaint review board in the United States, came here to learn best practices on body-worn cameras because they are having issues with their complaint investigations and how they utilize body cameras. So they contacted us, and they came down here on a meet-and-greet consultation visit on April 13th, and we walked them through a lot of the processes. Mona, I think you were involved in a big part of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. They don't. Made national news that New York City is early stages of implementing a body-worn camera program.
Pilot,
and they just, the pilot of our pilot that was 100, their pilot's like 1,300 or whatever. And so they're in the really early stages like we were 2 years ago. And, you know, they're still going through trying to do policy and law and everything. So knowing that we have a relationship with that agency and knowing that, hearing that we have the direct access and that being unique, then they came to learn more about that and just the, even though they'll be using, not evidence they're using, I think, VView or something, but it's still, you know, apples and oranges. And so they just wanted to know more about kind of the early process and how we came to come up with our policies and how we actually came about to have the direct access and that whole process and learning more about the impact it's had so that they can kind of put in the arguments for why they should have it and be involved early and often in the processes. And I actually just got an article that my equivalent there sent me something, I think, yesterday. I forwarded Mike about how it was helpful, and they actually noted that in their board director did some kind of op-ed article in Time Magazine, I think. And it was published, and they mentioned at the end, too, about us, our office specifically, our oversight office being a best practice for body-worn cameras because we actually have the access and how that would help the transparency and accountability and investigations. So, got a shout-out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not just DC, you know, but like actually the our agency and having the accountability that the oversight agency has. So.
All right. Thanks for doing that. And then the other visit we had last week was Cleveland, and Rochelle was involved in that. So Cleveland is under a consent decree for use of force and citizen complaints primarily, and for failure to properly investigate civilian complaints and use of force incidents. And their internal affairs investigation is, internal affairs bureau is part of that, is the agent, part of the department that's under the microscope there. So the Department of Justice and the monitor, if I'm getting this right, Rochelle, recommended that Cleveland come down and do a consultative visit with us to talk about proper investigation of civilian complaints. So they came down here for 2.5-3 days. We walked them through the process. They shadowed several people. Doug, Mona, I sat down with them. You sat down with them for quite a while and arranged it. We had a very informative visit. Is that right, Michelle? Do you want to add anything to that? Okay. And Doug, you had a good one of the investigators worked with you for that time?
Yes.
And
they left Doug's office smiling. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
I told Doug to take him to the mountain.
Yeah, so another shout out there, and staff did a great job on that consultative visit. The next thing on the board report is I'll mention the dismissal schedule. We have a new addition to the dismissal schedule now. It's right here.
Yeah, I'm there too, look.
And there, yeah. Yeah. That means everyone else has one less rotation.
Yeah. I had to put her at the end just because I wasn't sure when she was getting sworn in when I did this, but you know.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You are added in.
I'm in the rotation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Now the last part, investigation status, the last page of the board report. Mona, give us the headlines.
Okay. So our complaints keep going up. I think last I was just looking at the notes from last board report, and we said it was about at 60%, but actually now this is the comparison because we moved our board meeting up a week is actually 2 weeks off, so what we're actually closer, when I just did the date-on-date comparison last week, we were actually at 80% increase in complaints. So it keeps going up, and there's lots of reasons. I think we talked about last time was what we think is why, and I also looked at just the complaint volume. We kind of saw it really jump about 7 weeks ago. So for the past 7 weeks, we've been averaging 20 new cases a week. Before that, it was closer to 10. So I think there's still a combination of things. We are a little concerned because it hasn't leveled off. It's like it hasn't even leveled off at like a 60% increase or 40. It's like keeps jumping, and now we're just going into summer, which is typically our busier time. So we're not really sure what's going on, but the good news is we are, for the most part, keeping up with it in the sense of even if our complaint volume's up 80, our open cases are only up about 25%. So we think, definitely we have the procedures in place that we've talked about over the last couple years. The one good thing is, one thing that I think is helping having the most of our, or over half our cases having body-worn camera, and probably now even more than half the cases. I think for that mid-year, because we only had three months where it was full deployment, we're about 50% of our cases, but now it's probably higher than that. But we do think that's helping us triage cases quicker, mm-hmm. and really be able to identify officers quicker and identify misconduct quicker and get through it that way. And I had an example of a case yesterday where we've only had it about 5 weeks. We already have the officer in there. You know, it's a case that'll go to the complaint examinator, but we're not going to have to interview some people because we have video completely of the incident. And so it's just been something we've been able to, go through a lot quicker and resolve a case. Probably it'll be in, probably 2.5 months that would have taken probably 5 or 6 before. So the good thing is, I think we're keeping up with it on that end, but it does continue to go up, hoping it levels off, but I'm not sure what when it will or if it will. And it's kind of counter to early, you know, as a lot of you know, a lot of early studies of body-worn camera were indicating that complaints go down. So there are other factors that we have contributed to our complaints going up, like our online forms, getting all complaints from MPD. So that's been about a 25% increase, maybe. So there's all these different, and we've done a lot of outreach. We're getting a lot more, you know, people know about us. We're more accessible. There are probably other factors in there. Just, I'm curious if like all complaint departments and all kinds of agencies are just going up. If it's just kind of a complaining world, I don't know. But so there are different things that have contributed. But and you know, but also counterintuitively, the fact that it doesn't appear that people are behaving better on camera. That doesn't seem to be what we're seeing.
People
too
as
much.
In citizens or
both.
The officers?
Both. I mean, so I don't know, but we're able to get through cases quicker with body-worn camera footage because if the officers are taking footage because we're able to.
So let me ask this question. So when you said, you know, you expected with body-worn cameras that it's contrary to what the expectation was that the complaints went up. But although they went up 80%, you said the workload only went up 25%.
25 to 30 so far.
Right. Mm-hmm. So does that, and I'm assuming when you do the preliminary look at the body-worn camera video, you can either say, yeah, there's something here, or no, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
Is a portion of the complaints that we aren't taking and moving forward with coming out of looking at the body-worn
yes.
camera video and
absolutely.
Seeing that the misconduct mm-hmm. that is alleged did not occur?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And you'll see that when, you know, we'll go over that a little bit when we do your training, too, for the different kinds. So we do have a way to dismiss cases quickly.
Okay.
And so, and I'm sure the other board members that get dismissals will see, and we have included the memo which can document the
mm-hmm.
reasons why,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're not moving forward with the case or that we're dismissing the case. And we'll, you know, document the body-worn camera footage and if it does contradict or, you know, so that'll be documented. So that is a way that we can more quickly get to that point because we do have video. But, you know, we don't have video in every case, and there's still some allegations that can't be resolved just from a video. There's still allegations that you still have to, you know, talk to the officer or get, you know, do more investigation.
Right.
So.
But even on that, too, if you look at our withdrawals,
yeah.
I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. That's probably an indicator also about the part of the body cameras being able to resolve it, because sometimes when people realize after their first interview with us that there was a body camera and they may not know it, we've had a significant increase in people that have withdrawn their complaints.
Okay.
And that might account for part of that too. We don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it hasn't been, the trend has been going on for about 6 months now. Mm-hmm. Does it concern me? Yes. It's an alarmingly high increase of 80%. I've never heard of such a thing before. But we don't know what's causing it. We don't know if it's going to be long-lasting or not. The important thing is we're staying on top of it. Our complaint clearances are still, the amount of time that it takes to clear cases, to close them, overall averages, are still well below 6 months,
mm-hmm.
which is a far cry from where we were, you know, 2 years ago. Until we start seeing some of the other numbers change, this is something we just have to watch and monitor and try to make any internal adjustments. We've made some quick internal adjustments as we go through it, but we have to watch to see where this trend is going, bottom line. You know, and I've had conversation with the council about it. It's been a great, it's of concern to the Judiciary Committee. They've asked it, both times I've been in front of the committee, they've asked about it. They know about it. And I've indicated to them that we may have to ask for assistance in our staffing levels, but that it's too early and that we're not prepared to do that right now because I want to see where this is going to go. There's too many uncertainties working mm-hmm. in the background. One of them is body cameras. Another one is how our procedures work. Another one is the online complaints. Another one is the MPD referrals mm-hmm. that we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And that recently started. So
mm-hmm.
we got to let it shake out a little bit before we make any long-term decisions, but I know that we'll have council support. I'm very confident that we'll have council support if we needed additional staff assistance, but I just think it's too early to do that right now.
And the other interesting thing is we're coming off about a four or five year decrease, consistent decrease of complaints. Like, so for like the last 4 years, you know, the, because we did have a year, you probably remember, Kurt, where we had like 600, where that was been our highest year. And then we had a couple years of mid 500, 600, and then we kind of had this decrease over 4 years, and now it's kind of going up again. So
by this time next week, we're going to have the same number of complaints as we did all last year.
Yes. Yeah.
To give you an idea.
Yeah.
Put it in context.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. So we, yeah. We don't. It's
so these are year to date, right? Complaints.
Well, yes. Yeah, so year.
I mean,
to,
I know
to
they're
that
different.
Date. So
right,
yeah.
Right.
So the dates be yeah. So they're all, it's off by a couple weeks, but even just like when I pulled our new numbers today, I mean we're already 20 more than we were last week. So.
Right. So I wonder. Well, I shouldn't say I wonder. I know, but. Do you keep track of the date that it became effective that all of the complaints came over to you all? Do we kind of track from that date to see if that's where the surge came in?
We did.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we did look at that. We did look at that. Was it last in the last board?
Yeah, we
meeting?
Had our research analyst
right.
do a report. I'll forward you the
because
report.
Because we just started this year
yeah.
where we in the last couple of months where we switched over to. Sending everything
right.
over to you
yeah,
all.
I think
so
it was
would,
kind of the new our new fiscal year around September, maybe?
We started
or October?
In December.
December 15th,
yeah. Oh, is that when
we
did?
Map,
okay.
The general order change came up.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Then that's when we started, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll send you the report
mm-hmm.
that we did, that a
mm-hmm.
research analyst did on looking at that
mm-hmm.
exact thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the bottom line of the report was we couldn't tell.
Right.
Yeah. Really, right? That was the conclusion, was we still mm-hmm. didn't know.
Because so. It was too early. We only had a couple months of data.
So in March, when we looked at it, there were about 29 throughout the fiscal year that we had gotten, but they didn't start coming to us until December 15th.
Okay.
That's increased over the last few months because the practice has been put out now, and the practice is becoming regular for MP, and we've been working with, we both have been working with each other to get the flow better. But it, when the analysis was done in March, we started getting them December for all of the fiscal year, and we had about a little less than 30.
Okay.
So of the increase, it's not that much of an increase. Like Mona said, it's about a 25%.
Right.
And like Mr. Choba said, he'll give you the detail down to the grade analysis that Matt did on what we had received at mid-year.
Okay.
And then, too, you know, our fiscal year goes from October 1st to September 30th.
That's all fiscal years, right?
Well, I think you guys do July. Is July?
No.
No, okay.
No,
so
October 1st
so
is September 30th.
At March, we looked at see what we had for the year.
Okay.
So we do have that analysis.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, we're on the same
okay.
fiscal year.
All right, thank you.
All right.
When you say the same amount as last year for year
for
to date,
year.
Are you fiscal year?
Yeah.
Are you talking
fiscal year.
Okay.
So
yeah.
probably by next week, if we keep getting 20 a week, which we've been, we'll already be at 438, which was our total complaint last year for the whole fiscal year of 2016,
okay.
and we'll probably be at that number in another week or two. And it's so mid-May, so, you know, like 7.5 months in instead of, yeah,
it's,
so we'll still have
yeah.
another five months.
Totally counterintuitive
mm-hmm.
to everything we know about
right. body cameras.
Body cameras and complaints and the studies that have been done
well,
to date.
It shows the studies are happening.
So,
yeah, we'll see.
And again, as a reminder, too, we're in a, you know, MPD's doing another body camera
mm-hmm.
study.
Mm-hmm.
We are involved in that with looking at how it affects complaints. Maybe that will inform us a little
mm-hmm.
bit with the University of Arizona and the
mm-hmm.
DC Labs study
right.
that's being worked on, too. And there's about, the last time I heard, there's almost 20 different body camera studies going on now
mm-hmm.
across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so at least half of those are looking at complaints in particular, too, as one of their variables. So
yeah.
we're going to get more information as we go forward.
What I recall from at least some of those studies was... I mean, obviously, the MPD officers are aware they have body cameras, but from the civilian side, it was because they were aware that the police were wearing body cameras, behaved better.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we may want to look at, is there a lack of citizen awareness that police have body cameras? Is
yes,
that,
there is.
Yeah.
We're already
that
we're keeping that data.
That would
explain
a discrepancy, and,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the solution is that
yeah.
there needs to be a public education.
Mm-hmm. And there's some, you know, we're pulling some data, we're keeping data, and there's not only just part of the reason not all citizens know is because officers aren't doing a great job of informing them as they're required to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a
concern
that we have too. And it could be, you know, an assumption even I had, like, oh, there's the light, and you know, and it's publicized, and you should know, but, you know, people still, you know, when they're in sometimes those situations, they're not thinking about that, because they're not expecting necessarily to be involved in a police interaction, and so they can be focused on other things, and still there's a lot of people that just don't know. In our world, we all know, but there's a lot of people, you're right, that don't know, and that aren't being informed,
mm-hmm.
so, and there are people that aren't being informed, but know. Because they've read about it, or they see it, or they know they're, you know.
Right, that's a very good point, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, data-driven agency.
Right.
So, and I know it's a sticking point with investigators too, but we've asked them; they're keeping good track of all these of several different variables, about 10 different variables we're looking at with all the body camera footage that we get and that we review with, and now you see why we're doing that is so we can answer questions like this
mm-hmm.
and figure out what's you know what's going on with it. And that's going to help inform us as to how we deal with it going forward. But even in a quick view that we looked at very recently, Kurt, in a snapshot of body cameras of a certain time, and I don't remember the time parameters, almost 20% of those camera footage that we reviewed, the citizen was not informed that the camera was turned on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's happening. And part of it is the ramp-up by MPD, getting used to the technology, too, and that's why we're going to have to see how all of this plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's probably unanticipated consequences with this technology that we don't even know yet. So. Yeah, anything else to add about the numbers?
Any questions? Be nice. Okay.
Be nice. Girl. It's nice. It's going to be nice. All right.
Be understanding.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much, Mona, on that. That completes the board report. That's the last item that I had to discuss on the board report.
Okay.
Unless there's other questions about it.
I just have one question, but it's not about the report. It's about outreach activities. Was there any plans to do outreach during Pride season?
Yes. You went to one of the meetings, didn't you?
I went to a meeting or an event at the center that they were hosting.
Oh, that was the
big
one
meeting?
You were involved with.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
It was not a huge meeting. It was...
Let me tell you about the huge meeting.
And I'll just check specifically with Nikisha about what she has arranged for the Pride
Week. Yeah, in particular, one area that concerns me because I hear about it whenever I go. In the transgender community, there are certain individuals that complain about some of their interactions with police officers. Then when I ask them, well, did you complain?
Mm-hmm.
Did you file a complaint? No one files complaints.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a certain lack of awareness in certain segments of the community of the OPC.
If there's an individual or somebody we could reach out to make sure that we're covered, if you could put us in touch, we would.
I don't know
we'll work on that.
Who's organizing Trans Pride? I can look into it for you. And
just let me know and let Nikisha know.
Because Trans Pride is the 20th.
Is that something our glue unit can help out with?
Finding
a contact, or
I'm sure Jessica's going to be at that at Trans Pride.
I'm sure they probably will. I'll ask them to send me the information.
I think that she would be an excellent person to reach out on that.
Okay.
There was
or her officers that are there.
I'll reach out to the captain that runs it.
There was a large community meeting. I wasn't at it, but I heard about it over at the Capitol Pride and the board of directors and. I mean, there were a lot of statements made, and there was some suggestion that some of the critics were a small element of the community, but there was a call that the MPD be banned from the Pride activity by an element that was clearly very had low level of confidence in the police. And that point of view was, I think, mostly rejected. And my point is not to get into whose opinion is on solid ground, but it does suggest that there's an element that has a high level of distrust for the police, and I think maybe the our presence would present an opportunity for that element to develop some confidence in the police force and the MPD.
Very good.
I mean, they have a booth or something or some other presence at the various Pride.
Okay.
And quite honestly, all I'm going to do is Google Capital Pride and look up who's the contact for Trans Pride.
So if
you all want to do that yourselves, you may get to it faster than I do.
Okay. We can do that. Thanks.
I think either Savannah Wanser or Bianca Ray are the contacts for Trans Pride, but I'm not 100% certain because I've not been involved with any of that this year.
Okay. We'll get my help. Thanks.
Thank you. So, pursuant to DC Official Code Section 2-575B10, I would like to move that we move into executive session. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. We all may be dismissed.
Mike, I'm sorry. I voted to give you a car and driver, but it went down.
Thanks for asking. Anyway.
In flame.
We have now resumed the public meeting. We've concluded our executive session. And just for the record, Mike Tobin's been reappointed as Director of Office of Police Complaints.
Well, he's been offered.
Or offered. He hasn't signed yet. We'll see how that works out. I move to adjourn the meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Congrats.
Thank you very much.
Meeting is adjourned. Mm-hmm. Sorry.